travel department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
There's still no word on when Jeanine Pirro will be returning to Fox. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
Her Fox News primetime show, Justice with Judge Jeanine, has been bumped for a second straight week without explanation. Instead of Justice with Judge Jeanine, Fox will be airing Scandalous, the trial of William Kennedy Smith, at 9 p.m. Eastern, the same show that aired last Saturday in her time slot. Pirro was suspended by Fox after she read a scripted commentary questioning Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's patriotism on her March 9th broadcast, and it was criticized as Islamophobic. Fox publicly condemned the host's comments, and according to a source familiar with the matter, privately suspended her. Fox News declined to comment, though, and in recent days continued to say it won't elaborate on what it calls mere scheduling changes.
A family in Connecticut that's accused of creating the worst drug use problem in American history is facing a massive lawsuit. The suit targets the Sackler family, which owns Purdue Pharma, the maker of the painkiller OxyContin. 500 cities, counties, and Native American tribes are part of the suit filed in New York. It claims the family knowingly broke the law and got rich at the expense of those who became addicted to the opioid. The lawsuit accuses the family of downplaying the dangers of the painkiller, leading to a public health epidemic. The family denies any wrongdoing. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Well, good morning, folks. Home Sweet Home here on Friday, TGIF. It is a rainy day here in Flemington. It's still beautiful, but rainy. And thank you for listening to us today. I'm going to give you the weather right now in short form. Today we have a 50% chance of showers right now, high 47. Tonight we're dropping, actually we're going up. It looks like we're going to have a little break in the afternoon, but it's still going to be around 30% tonight. Chance of showers and very breezy, low 32. Saturday, mostly sunny and breezy, high 47. That evening, it'll drop down to 29. So we're still pretty cold out there. But Sunday looks like the best day of all. High 57, nice and sunny. Get ready for that, folks. That sounds great. I'm not going to go through the rest of the week. And if you notice, I'm actually doing the weather today because my friend Steve is not here with us today. It's very sad. So that's why it's raining outside. We're very sad. But he'll be back next week, I hope. Maybe next week. We wish him well. And I am so lucky today because I do have a guest. And I'm really excited to be able to talk about him. And we're just going to get back in 1 minute. John Rendell is here with us here. We're going to talk about mortgages and all kinds of stuff about mortgages. So stay tuned 1 second here. I'm going to do two more commercials and get straight back to it.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning, everyone. Pat Gregory here, Taskman Home Improvements, and our show is called Home Sweet Home with Steve and Pat. And Steve's not here today, but I will try to get through as best as I can. And lucky me, I do have a guest here today. I want to introduce my very special guest, John Rendell, who is with Finance of America. He is a mortgage advisor, and we're going to talk about the absolutely wonderful things that happen with your financing when you go to buy a house. So, John, say something here so I can make sure I have the right mic on for you.
Thank you very much for having me today.
Yeah. You know what? We had this problem last week, John. That mic doesn't work. One second here while I...
Hey, Patrick, how are you?
All right.
I'm excited to be your guest today.
We are back in action here. Sorry, folks.
That's okay.
If you would actually have seen the visual on that one, I had to reach over and switch the mics around here. So I apologize for that, John. Very unprofessional, but you know what? I'm an unprofessional kind of guy.
Sorry about that. Everything's good.
I hope you like the Beatles, though, because I played the whole song.
So now, who doesn't like the Beatles, right?
You like you look like you were a Beatles fan. That's why I played it for you.
Oh, you're trying to tell everybody how old I am, right?
No, Beatles is the best.
You insulted me earlier saying nobody listens to AM radio, and I'm like, I listen to AM radio.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Wow. You know what? It hurts my ears.
Oh.
You know why? Because there's just something about the background grishing of an AM station.
Right.
Some people like it. It always kind of... I remember as a kid being on the school bus, you know, like 6, 7 years old, listening to CKGM, which was the rock station in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And it was an AM rock station.
Right.
And... back then, you know, that's how I learned about Led Zeppelin and all those really cool bands.
Absolutely. Yeah, but, so you're not that young if you remember Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah, come on. I really love music, so I have a diverse music background. But you know what? When I experienced stereo for the first time, mm-hmm. you know, an FM radio station basically, and you know, I had friends that had like very amazing stereo systems.
Right.
It blew me away.
Yeah.
And that ruined my ears forever because then I couldn't listen to AM anymore.
Oh, I see.
It's a little bit like when we went from the regular TVs to, you know, the flat screen smart TVs and HD came around and mm-hmm. all of a sudden people were saying, I can't watch like regular TV anymore. It has to be HD because it hurts my eyes.
Right.
It's too fuzzy. Same thing
absolutely.
For my ears.
Yeah.
But okay, we divert again here, right?
So there you go.
John, I wanted to thank you very much for coming to the
thank
show.
Thank you.
It's always a lot easier talking with someone than to talk to myself. And so I appreciate you coming out. And John, you're in one of my business groups, HNA, which is Hunterdon Networking Associates. And you are the expert guru of mortgages. And we discussed how we could talk about, you know, how we can integrate that into Home Sweet Home. And obviously, mm-hmm. you know, you can't get a home sweet home without a mortgage usually, unless you got bags full of money.
Right.
And so we want to talk a little bit about your company.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how many years of experience you have and
sure.
What kind of loans do you do? So
sure.
Thanks, take it
Patrick.
Away.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm with a company called Finance of America. We are a division of Blackstone, which is the world's leading private equity firm in real estate holdings.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I work for a small branch office in Langhorne. We probably have about 7 or 8 people that work out of that office. But we're part of a big corporation that has 400 offices nationwide, 400 lending offices. And the benefit of working for a company like Blackstone is that we have tremendous resources, we have a diverse product line, and we are the lender. And by being the lender, I mean that you're going to work with me and my company from beginning to end. We're going to sit down and we're going to pre-approve you. We're going to help you get your application started. We're going to process your loan. We underwrite in-house. We have our own underwriters, and we would fund the loan at closing. So you're going to deal with the same individuals and the same company from beginning to end, and you're not going to be passed off to a third party at some time during the process. So that's a major benefit of working for a company like Blackstone. Plus, there's a tremendous name recognition in the industry that most people have heard of Blackstone in terms of their holdings and have come across investments that are put out by Blackstone, mostly REITs or real estate investment trusts that Blackstone puts out to investors. Mm-hmm. But getting back to the mortgage business, we offer a diverse property lending, a diverse product line, which includes a 203K loan, which is for mostly people that are looking to put a minimum amount of money down and rehabilitate a house in order for them to live in for many years after they fix it up.
Okay.
So that's one of the big product lines that we're offering. Also, fix and flip is another product that we do for individuals that may not want to retain the house after they fix it up but resell it.
Is that the name of the product, fix and flip?
Believe it or not, it's called fix and flip. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. We'll delve into that. For
okay.
Sure.
And yeah. We offer small commercial loans for people that are buying commercial properties. And we also offer financing for self-employed borrowers and investors.
Okay.
So that's just a little bit of the products that we offer, but I see most of my business coming in that arena, in that area.
Now, how do your clients come to you at this point? Is it really in need because they found out about whether they need to get some kind of a financing agreement together before they can look at homes, if we're talking in the residential market?
Primarily, my business comes from referrals, people that I network with, such as yourself or our group at HNA, realtors, accountants, CPAs, financial advisors, attorneys, or past customers. So people that have worked with me in the past, whether they have a friend or relative that's buying a house and needs to come to me for financing, or I do see people that are actually moving up. They bought a first-time home with my financing, and then once they're ready to increase their family, increase their home, they've called me back and said, you know, you did my financing for me 10 years ago. I want to do some financing on a new home with you now.
Nice. Yeah, it's always great to get repeat business, really, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's, to me, that's the greatest compliment I can get. If somebody refers me or if somebody comes back to me, that means I'm doing a good job.
Excellent.
I take pride in that.
We're talking with John Rendell today from Finance of America. And, John, I'll give you a chance to give us a telephone number, maybe an email address,
okay.
Website where we can find you basically on the internet.
Right, okay.
And we're going to take a break. Do you want to do that now? Or
sure. Yeah. Again, I'm John Rendell, a mortgage loan officer with over 30 years of experience. I work for a company called Finance of America. I'm available 7 days a week to answer your questions. The easiest and quickest way to get in touch with me is at 908-399-9550. Again, that's my cell phone. It's 908-399-9550. And I do make myself available evenings and weekends for consultations if you need information on a mortgage or if you need to get pre-approved to buy a home.
Sounds great. Okay, folks, we're just going to take a quick break and be right back. We'll get into some of this product line and talk a little bit about the mortgage basics. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, folks, I tried to actually put a song on for John here, and it kind of blew up in my face, I guess. I don't know what's wrong with my... There we go. I'm going to get it this time. There. Beach Boys? Like them?
Yeah? Sure.
Two Bs. Beatles and the Beach Boys. All right. Sorry about that. We are back with John Rendell from Finance of America, and we were just starting to get into talking about mortgages and everything, and John, I guess the first thing, just if we start from the very basics, can you kind of walk us through real quick, you know, helping out a first-time home buyer or potential buyer that wants to get into the market and buy a home? They have no clue. They've never taken out a mortgage before.
Sure.
What's the process? How do you lead them through?
Sure. Pat, a great question, because a big part of what I do is work with first-time home buyers and educate them on the process of not only getting a mortgage but buying a home.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step in buying a home, especially for the first time, is figuring out what you can afford. So if you call up your local real estate agent and say, oh, I want to look at houses, the first question out of the real estate agent's mouth is going to be, have you talked to a mortgage loan officer? Have you been pre-approved?
Okay.
And at that point, if they say no, then a lot of times I'll get a nice introduction where they say, call John Rendell and get pre-approved. So especially with the first-time home buyers, they have a lot of questions. I like to meet with them face-to-face. Not everybody wants to meet face-to-face, and I'll do it over the phone and correspond via email. But there's a lot of interaction when somebody gets pre-approved to buy a home, and I'd like to meet the people that I'm working with and sit down and educate them on what they need to do in order to qualify for a home. So we're going to sit down, and we're going to look at their income. We're going to look at their assets. We're going to look at their liabilities. And we're going to pull a credit report to look at that credit rating, because mm-hmm. a lot of times there's information on a credit report that a potential borrower is not aware of. So
okay.
it's important to get that looked at up front and get any problems taken care of before you go into the home buying process.
All right. So you basically will direct your clients to be able to make sure that they are ensure the best outcome to get that mortgage. And if it means that they have to clean up their credit, like you said, it may not happen today, right? It may, right. You may have to wait a little bit depending on how problematic you see that credit report.
Yeah, Pat, and that's a big reason why we run the credit up front, because if there's any work that needs to be done before getting a mortgage or buying a home, they can take the time and get that done. Typically, I'll find that people might be carrying a little bit too much credit card debt, so we'll look at that and suggest that maybe they pay down some of the credit card debt in order to increase their credit rating. If they've been paying their bills late, then they're going to have to start a track record of 3 to 6 months of on-time payments.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem with getting a mortgage for somebody that has low credit score or bad credit is that the interest rate is going to be a lot higher for their loan as opposed to somebody that had good credit. So it's very important to understand credit, and it's very important to, when you go for a mortgage, to have the best credit score that you can, and that's where we come in. We do a lot of credit counseling just as a service to help our clients out.
Great. So say you come in and you're fine. You know, your credit score is good enough and you can get to the next stage. That's what we would call pre-approval?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Again, look at income, assets, liabilities, and credit rating. If everything's in line, then we'll calculate, based on the down payment, how much of a mortgage they can afford. And most of the time, people are surprised how much of a mortgage I can give them. I don't know if that's a good thing, but a lot of times people have their own numbers in mind and said, oh, you know, I can afford $2,500 a month. So we back out the taxes and the insurance payment, and if they're putting less than 20% down, we'll back out the PMI. And then lo and behold, you know, they can afford a $450,000 or $500,000 mortgage. Well, most people are wise to not taking on that much debt. So in a lot of situations, as long as they have good income and good credit, I usually can fit them into the mortgage and the budget that they're looking for.
Cool. Yeah. So do you ever see people that actually do it the other way around and kind of go out and fall in love with a house, and it's the house, they want to buy that one, but have no idea that their credit is bad, or if they can get the amount of money they need to be able to do that?
I think most people are aware of their credit. There's a lot of vehicles out there that allow you to see what your credit score is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare nowadays that people come to me and said, I don't know what my credit score is. Like Discover Card, I've seen Discover on their bills, they'll put your current credit rating. So,
oh, wow.
I mean, it's something that people come to me and say, oh, yeah, this is my credit rating. And then it's almost a situation, well, that's well and good that you have a credit rating in mind in terms of what Discover says or some of these online services say your credit score is. But you need to keep in consideration or keep in mind that when you go for a mortgage, the credit scores are a little tighter than the online credit scores, because we take 8 or 9 parameters into consideration when we figure a credit score, where some of these online services only take 4 or 5 parameters in order to calculate your score. So generally, if you're getting something from Discover, we're probably about 20 or 25 points lower on a mortgage credit report than what Discover's saying your credit score is. So you just have to keep that in mind. But in a lot of situations, people know if they've been paying their bills late or behind. So it's just a matter of what we see as a lender, their credit rating is, and determining what program they can fit into.
Can you give us an idea of like the sweet spot of what a credit score should be that you're looking to see?
You know what, 700 is a pretty much a magic number. 700 and above is what I call a good to excellent credit score. I've seen some credit scores over 800, and that's exceptional. And I've seen some scores in the low 600s. So when you're looking at credit scores that start dipping below 700, you become a borrower that starts looking at an FHA mortgage as opposed to a conventional mortgage. If you're over 700, a lot of those home buyers are getting mortgages on a conventional rate, where if you're under 700, a lot of those home buyers are getting FHA mortgages.
Can you talk a little bit about what FHA means and the difference?
Sure. There's two type of loans out there, the conventional, which offers the best available rates and terms. And then there's a government-backed mortgage called FHA. It's done through HUD. And their division is the Federal Housing Administration that puts out mortgages to what they call underserved borrowers. And it came out many years ago where their requirements were less money for a down payment. With an FHA loan, you can do with a purchase with as little as 3.5% down. With the FHA, you can go to scores. We currently see them going to 580, as low as 580, to get an FHA mortgage. You can also see that their debt-to-income ratios are higher than conventional mortgages. So FHA will allow you to carry more debt than a traditional type of mortgage. So, it is a program. Mostly first-time home buyers use it because of the low down payment and the liberal credit standards that it allows the borrowers to have.
Okay. So at this point in the process of obtaining the pre-approval and a possible loan, are there different forks in the road that tell you you're going to go the FHA route, the conventional route, or is there other loans that you can also offer at this point? And where do we go from there?
Yeah, Pat, that's a good question. Pretty much up front, we're going to identify whether they're an FHA borrower or conventional. Mm-hmm. If you're in neither one of those categories, there is what they call non-QM alternate A type of mortgages available. Those are for the people that typically couldn't qualify for an FHA or conventional. Their down payment requirements are more stringent with at least 10 to 20% down to get an alternate A type of loan. But typically it's for somebody that may have had a problem in the past, like a bankruptcy or a foreclosure. It's also geared towards individuals that are self-employed, and that's something that we could talk a lot about in terms of, you know, what loans are available for individuals that are self-employed. Mm-hmm. And typically the self-employed borrower makes a lot of money, has good cash flow. But after their accountant gets done filing their tax returns, they might not show as much money as they really make or report as much money in order to save on taxes.
Exactly.
So yeah. that's your alternative to FHA and conventional is non-quality mortgage or non-QM.
Okay. And then so now you've had the pre-approval, you figured out what kind of mortgage you can give your client. So how does a client proceed to go back and put an offer on the house at this point?
So the pre-approval is there's really two steps that I do in order to help borrowers buy a home. The first one is to give them an idea of where they should be looking. So, again, the potential home buyer that was referred to me from a realtor says, go talk to John. We sit down and we do everything we need to pre-approval and say, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Home Buyer, you're pre-approved for $400,000 with 10% down. So at that point, they go back to their realtor and say, okay, John says $400,000. Show us everything, you know, within that price range. And they start looking. Once they find a home, then they call me back up and say, listen, we found this lovely house here in Flemington, and we want to put an offer in. It's going for $399, but we want to offer $369. Mm-hmm. So at that point, what I'll do is take back the original pre-approval that says $400 and write it up for $369 with 10% down, and I'll even customize it to the property. So when they go in to negotiate the purchase price on a home, at least the pre-approval looks professional and is geared towards that property that they're looking to negotiate a purchase price on.
Okay. Yeah, so, I didn't realize you would actually customize it to that particular property, because it seems like a lot of work, because if they don't get the bid, other people bidding on the same house and it becomes a bidding war, then you got to start that paperwork over again, right? But I guess it's not that big of a deal.
Well, everybody asks for a pre-approval nowadays, and the more professional it looks, the better
it's perceived.
The better look that you have in terms of making an offer. But again, my efforts are to help that individual buy the house of their dreams, so to speak, and hopefully get the best available price on that house. And a good pre-approval is necessary in order to negotiate a good price.
Now, have you already locked in the interest rate at this point?
No. No, that's a good question. There's too many factors involved in terms of when are you going to close, you know, what's your loan amount, what's the purchase price. So with our company, you can't lock in until you have a final contract of sale. It's called a fully executed contract of sale that's been signed by both the buyers and the sellers. Then you can lock in an interest rate at that time, depending on when you're closing. Typically, many of the locks that we do are 45 to 60 days. So if you're closing 90 or 100 days down the road, you may have to wait until you're within 60 days of closing in order to lock in the interest rate.
Okay.
Okay.
So at this point, your 369 offer, or the Mr. and Mrs. Homebuyer get approved, and they accept that offer, and they call you back, and they're all happy. What's the next process?
Okay. So so they make the offer on the house in 369, and they write the contract up, and everybody signs it. The first thing they do is they take it over to their attorney, and the attorney reviews the contract. In New Jersey, they have an attorney review period, which lasts for 3 business days. Mm-hmm. It can last longer if the attorneys don't come to an agreement on the contract, but typically with the residential real estate contract, most of the attorneys are able to come to an agreement and agree to the contract within 3 days of receiving the contract. So at the end of their attorney review period, that's when the application process starts for a mortgage. And if we don't have all the documentation that's necessary to get a loan, we're going to ask the borrower to provide updated pay stubs and updated bank statements along with their W-2s and their driver's license so we can identify who they are. But so, again, once they're through attorney review, then we start the application process, which includes getting an appraisal done on the property. So we don't take an application fee up front, but we do take a credit card in order to conduct an appraisal on the property. And the appraisal is done by a independent third party, so we really don't have any influence over the appraiser. We put it out on a rotating bid system, and once that appraiser accepts the request for an appraisal, then we charge the credit card for the amount of the cost of the appraisal.
And
usually it's about $450.
The appraisal has to come in higher than what you're going to buy the house for, right?
That's a good question. It doesn't have to, but in most cases, if they've gotten a good price on the home, it's going to come into equal, if not greater, than the purchase price. If it comes in less, then the buyer has to figure out what they're going to do, whether they're going to try to renegotiate the contract or whether they're going to put more money down or whether they're going to walk away. So, you know, in this housing market in Hunterdon County and working with a good qualified realtor, I haven't seen a lot of houses under appraised, which is a good thing.
Okay. Yeah. And what was the other question I was going to ask? Is that at this point, the home inspection probably has happened, right? Because you're moving it down the line. If there was a major issue, say the foundation was cracked and it was about to fall apart or whatever like that, is that something you need to know as the mortgage lender? To be able to allow the money to go through, or how does that work?
So, yeah, we didn't talk about this, but simultaneously with applying for the mortgage on the house that you're under contract, you're going to be doing a home inspection. The home inspection is independent of the work that we're doing as a mortgage lender. So our eyes on this particular home is through the appraiser, not the home inspector. So if our appraiser comes in and says this house is falling apart, then we're going to ask for the either the seller or the buyer to fix it and send the appraiser back out there to make sure the house is sound and it's been fixed to their satisfaction. But as far as the home inspector, there could be issues that the home inspector brings up that are not that much of a concern to us as a lender. Again, we're going to rely on the appraiser, not the home inspector, for any repairs that have been done by the done to the property.
Okay.
But I see a lot of these transactions that these home inspectors, they'll come in, and you know, Steve's ears must be ringing right now down in Florida
because he's
a home inspector. But the home inspectors come in and they do a very, very thorough job at analyzing the house and bringing out a lot of defaults in the home, which are probably over and above of what an appraiser would see as a problem with the home. So right. It really depends on how willing a buyer is going to be to accept these defaults that the home inspector. And in most cases, they'll go back to the seller and negotiate. Maybe it's the cost are split 50-50, or if it's really significant, then they ask the buyer to take care of the repairs. And I've seen a lot of contracts fall apart because of home inspection issues. So, it's really frustrating on both sides to come to an agreement on a purchase price, and then once the home inspection's done, either go back and renegotiate the purchase price or void the contract, which a buyer can do. It's within their right to do that.
Okay. So say everything's fine, and we've passed that hurdle too. Mm-hmm. And now we have locked in basically the contract. There's an X amount of time between that point and when you close the for the loan, right?
Right. Typically, the contracts are 45 days from beginning to end. That's a pretty sound time frame, which would allow you enough time to get your mortgage commitment and get your home inspection issues resolved and get ready for a closing. Again, while your home inspection is going on, we're processing your mortgage application. It usually takes 2 to 3 weeks to get a mortgage application through the process. At the end of, let's say, 3 weeks, we're going to issue what they call a loan commitment, ask you to accept the loan commitment and sign it. Again, we don't take any money up front. Any fees that are paid to us are paid at closing, which are minimal anyway. So once your mortgage commitment is delivered and accepted, then you get in touch with your attorney in order to set up your closing.
Okay. Now, what happens if I get a little spendthrift and decide I want to go buy a Lamborghini during the process of getting this loan put through? Could that mess up my credit score, I guess?
You know what? I haven't seen it recently. But you always hear of stories of borrowers that get their mortgage commitment and then go out and buy furniture or go out and buy a car. And some of the smarter ones will call me and say, John, you know what, I'm thinking about doing this or that. I'm thinking about even leaving my job. I've had that question. I'm going to leave my job. I said, well, please don't do it until after you close.
Okay.
So you could jeopardize your loan commitment and your loan approval and your closing if you go out and incur a lot of debt, especially if you're borderline in terms of your qualifications. Your mortgage lenders will check your credit. They'll do a soft pull credit report to see if there's any additional debt on your credit report from when they did the initial credit report. And there have been some situations where people have gone out and borrowed additional money and got themselves in trouble and jeopardized the purchase of a home. So up front, we'll tell people that while you're doing this process, this mortgage process and going to closing, please don't open up any new credit and don't charge up your credit cards.
And don't even, like, go for another credit card. I mean, if you have three already, don't get the fourth.
Yeah. You know, most typically I see it with people that want to buy new appliances or buy furniture, and they go into one of these stores and said, okay, you know what, we're having a special.
Zero financing.
Zero financing, open up a credit card, and they'll open up a credit card. I'd like to think that my borrowers are not that tight, that if they do something like that, it won't jeopardize their deal, their purchase transaction. But you know what? It could. Mm-hmm. And do you really want to take that risk? I always encourage them, listen, close first, then go out and buy your furniture, go out and buy your appliances. And if you want to charge it, then it's not a problem. We don't care after you close what you do. Now, as long as you're paying your mortgage, that's what we care about.
The time frame for mortgages, is there changes in what you see? I mean, the conventional 30-year loan basically is the type of loan I took. Mm-hmm. Are there other trends in the market these days that are a shorter period of time or even longer period of time?
In terms of the duration of the loan?
Of the loan, yeah.
Yeah. So the conventional is just the type of loan it is, but they have different what they call amortizations. Most people, when they're starting out, take a 30-year amortization loan. But there are shorter terms, most notably 15-year. Years ago, we were doing loans in the 6% and 7% on 30-year fixed rate mortgages, and then all of a sudden rates dropped down into the 3% and 4%. So I had a lot of people coming to me and taking their 30-year and refinancing at a lower rate on a shorter term, 15-year or 20-year is also available, and their payment was the same, if not a little bit less than what it was on the 30-year because of the reduced interest rate. So there are different terms that somebody can get when going for a mortgage. Most typically, majority of my products right now are all 30-year amortization. It's because people are always worried about what my monthly payment's going to be, and a 30-year gives you the lowest monthly payment as opposed to a 15 or 20-year fixed.
I take a look at it a little bit from the point of view of other goods that you can buy, and I'll just take the example of cars. You know, it seems to me that you can actually amortize out your payments for cars even longer these days. It used to be, you know, a four-year financing, and then we went to 5 years. Now there's six-year financing terms, and like we're gonna do that with houses one day, where it's gonna take you 50 years to fully pay off your house. You know, do you see something like that happening? Or
you know what,
30 is a long time. Obviously,
30 is a long time, and I encourage most people, if they have a little extra money, to try to pay down their principal early, and then they can reduce the term of the loan maybe to 20 or 25 years by just adding extra principal each month. But several years ago, some of your lenders were doing 40-year mortgages.
Okay.
And it never took off. And maybe the mindset is, geez, you know what, I'm 40 years old. I'm going to take a 40-year mortgage. I'm going to be 80 before this is paid off. So it never really caught on. And I'm not sure if anybody's doing a 40-year any longer. But most of the loans 30 years. And, again, they're – If people are financially savvy, a lot of them are paying their loans off early if they can, and it's just simply just paying extra money towards your principal with an extra principal payment with your monthly mortgage payment.
Yeah, so I mean, if you have extra money coming in from a refund, instead of maybe going to buy something that you really want, you could just do the boring thing and throw it all into your principal, right? And feel good about it in some way, I guess. Yeah, I actually just recently changed my payment terms to a biweekly, and yeah, it changes the whole the whole schedule of payments just by, and I think I'm going to save maybe 2 or 3 years just doing that.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Which is great,
Yep. Yeah. The biweekly mortgage, you're actually making a payment every 2 weeks. And I think they want to pull it directly from your account, right?
Yeah. And then that simplifies it for me too. I don't have to worry about writing that check out and
it's done electronically.
And the worry about it, because I mean, I have that 15-day grace period at the beginning of the month. But the cool thing is that two or three times a year, depending on the year, you pay an extra payment, right? And that's how you bring down that principal amount, because there's 26 payments in a year instead of 12.
So it's 26 weekly. Half payments, which is 13 full payments, as opposed to 12 full payments or one payment per month. So
that whole payment,
that's really where
the
savings
principal
comes in, because you're making one extra principal payment during the course of the year.
Yeah.
Correct. Yep.
And I think a lot of people don't know that,
You know what? I was going to say it, but you beat me to it. So I'm very impressed that you do that. Absolutely. You're right.
So we're going to take a break real quick. And when we come back, we are going to take a little bit of time just to talk about renovation loans, the fixer-upper, flipper loans, stuff like that. The stuff we see on HGTV, I guess, all the time. They make it look easy. So stay tuned, everyone. We'll be straight back. We're talking with John Rendell today from Finance of America. Hold on for next.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
All right, we are back, folks. John Rendell is in the studio with us today, and Steve's not here, just me. And we wish him well. Hopefully he'll be back next week. And we're talking about mortgages. And I just plan moving out Anthony's song from Billy Joel, because I'm moving out. And what we're going to do now, John, is we want to like a little focus on you said there were flip loans and renovation loans.
Correct.
Yes. Can we talk a little bit about that and how they work and why someone would want to use that form of a loan?
Yeah, no, Pat, it's a big segment of the marketplace, and I get a lot of questions on it on a weekly basis in terms of what financing is available, and I think I have to do a shout out to HGTV because it's very popular nowadays, and people are looking at flippers and saying, "Hey, I can do that." And you probably know with your business, it's not as easy as people think it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes I do spend a little time at least asking the right questions in terms of what makes you think you can do this. Do you have the money to do it? And you know, how much financing do you need? So typically what I'll see are two different scenarios. One being buyers and typically first-time home buyers that can't afford today's house prices here in Hunterdon County. So to get a nice home, you might have to spend over $300,000, $350,000, $400,000, mm-hmm. something that's in pretty good shape.
Right.
That's around the average price range. But first-time home buyers, you know, they may not be able to afford that in their budget. So what they're looking at are properties that are typically bank-owned. So with a bank-owned property, you either have to come in with cash or you have to come in with a rehab loan, a 203K. So if you do have somebody that's familiar with construction or you're familiar with construction, it might be an opportunity to buy a bank-owned property, you know, fix it up, and then, you know, retain it. That is something that you can live in. Typically, we offer two different types of loan. One is the 203K through FHA that we talked about before, FHA.
Okay.
And then conventional has a loan. It's a home style. The nice thing about the FHA loan, if you put 20% down, you don't have PMI. Where in the FHA, if you put 20% down, you're going to have the monthly mortgage insurance in your payment.
Well, why do they do that?
Because the government wants to make money on insuring the loans for the banks.
Okay.
So it's actually FHA's requirement that all these loans have what they call mortgage insurance, and that's the way HUD and FHA recoup some of their cost of lending the money.
Okay.
Okay. In some situations, I'll talk to people and first-time homebuyers, and I say, listen, if you don't have the time, you're working a job and you're putting in 40, 50, 60 hours a week, you're not going to have time to fix up a property or get involved in fixing up a property. Why don't you see if there's something that you can buy that doesn't need a lot of work?
Mm-hmm.
So after that segment of the market decides if they want to buy a bank-owned property or a rehab project, and if they pass on the home, because a lot of these homes that the bank owns, they're required to sell it to owner-occupied individuals, people that are going to occupy the property. I think they have a period of time, it might be 3 months or whatever, 6 months, that they would have to market this property to individuals that are going to live in it as their primary residence. But in some situations, depending on the length of time it's been on the market or depending on who holds the mortgage on the property, they will make it available to what we call investors. And investors are coming in to buy at the right price, and that's important. I've talked to some investors that look at 50 to 100 properties before they actually end up putting an offer and buying a property.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, cash is king in that situation. So if an investor has money in the bank that they can go out and pay cash for the property, that puts them into a better negotiating position than if somebody that comes in as an investor that wants to get what we call a fix and flip loan. So a fix and flip is a short-term loan, and it gets relatively costly way to borrow. Typically, you're going to see rates 8 to 9%, sometimes even a little bit higher, depending on the credit rating of the borrower. And there's going to be some fees up front. But it is a way to buy a property as an investor with only 10% down,
okay,
and then finance up to 90% of the rehab. So when an investor goes to buy a bank-owned property or a dilapidated property and fix it up and resell it, they've got to look very closely how much money they're going to put into the house and make sure there's margin for them to resell it in the marketplace. And one of the factors would be the cost of borrowing this money that they would have to consider in terms of their calculation of overall cost to rehab the property. But it is available. It's something that wasn't in the marketplace 3 or 4 years ago, and it's something that's becoming more popular as we see more properties that need to be rehabbed.
Now, John, like a loan like that, are you able to expedite it quickly so that the buyer can jump on this project and try to get going as quickly as possible, because time is money, and if they're going to flip it, they want to flip it in a very reasonable amount of time so that they're not making too many loan payments, right?
Well, I tell you the best scenario, and you're right, because the banks, it's costing them money the longer they hold the property, so there's a great incentive for the banks to close on the sale of a property that they own. We do have a product which is relatively unique, and I'll just tell you a little scenario of a couple that I was working with recently, and it's in our pipeline. They came to me and said, we want to try this fix and flip. I said, okay. And they had $10,000 in the bank to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they obviously needed our help and they needed our money. So after asking several questions, I found out that they had over $200,000 in a retirement fund. So with our program, we can lend them up to five times or make credit available five times the amount of that asset.
Okay.
So with a client that had only $10,000 liquid, we approved them for $1 million line of credit.
Holy smokes.
So the line of credit is it's unsecured. It's just a letter saying, okay, you can borrow from us up to $1 million. So they go out and they find a property, and this property that they settled on was $250,000 or $250,000. So we were able to give them 90% of that purchase price off their credit line and close in 30 days. So typically, if you got all your ducks in a row, you might be able to close on a fix and flip loan in 90 days.
Wow.
Or in 30 days, I'm sorry.
Which is great. I mean, because like you said, if there are other offers being put on the table, cash, and you have to you have to compete with that, because, and sometimes that's what happens, is there's many investors looking for that, right? So,
right. Yeah, exactly.
For that one particular property.
Yeah. You know, and if you're looking to get a loan on one of these properties, generally you're paying a little bit more as opposed to somebody that comes in with cash that would try to get a better price.
We're talking to John here today. The phone's ringing. I can't answer it. I'm sorry, whoever's trying to get through. But
maybe it's somebody that wants to ask me a question.
Wow. We're going to actually run out of time, unfortunately. We only have 1 minute left. So.
All right, they'll get back to us. 908-399-9550. Give me a
call.
That's
it. I was just about to actually give your coordinates again here. So his number, John's number, if you'd like to talk to him personally, is 908-399-9550. Do you have an email address?
Sure. It's J. Reindel. It's first initial, last name, R-E-I-N-D-E-L, at financeofamerica.com.
All right. And that was J. Reindel, J-R-E-I-N-D-E-L, at financeofamerica.com, one word.
Correct.
And what's the last thing we can talk about here? We have... We have a couple of seconds.
We were talking a little bit, early today about people that want to know what their credit looks like.
Right.
And I encourage a lot of people to go to this website called CreditKarma.com. And Credit Karma is a free service, and it will give you two of your three credit scores. And it will tell you where you're at. At least they give you a guideline in terms of, you know, where your credit stands. But it will also walk you through a bit of the process in terms of how to improve your credit. And sometimes people don't know how to improve their credit. It will recommend that they pay down credit.
You're listening to WHCR.
Sorry about that.
Pay down credit card debt as much as possible. But some people have an insufficient amount of credit. And I know, Pat, you had talked about this a little bit. You're familiar with this. Generally, what it will recommend you do is go out and get a secured credit card.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody that's recently graduated from school or new into this country or never believed in credit, it's difficult to get a loan if you don't have credit. So the recommendation, and you can do this through the website or you can go to your local bank and investigate this opportunity for what they call the secured credit card. You put $250 to $500 in a bank account. They hold that, and they let you borrow against it but give you the benefit of having a credit rating or a credit card that appears on your credit report based on you having a secured credit card. And my advice is don't go and charge up that credit card. Maybe put a tank full of gas for $40 or $35 on the credit card and then pay it off each month.
Right, just to improve your credit.
Just to improve your credit. But, the big mistake people make is they go get a secured credit card and they charge up to the max, and that hurts your credit more than helps it. So you want to keep those credit card balances at least 20 to maybe 10% of what you can borrow on the card. Keep it under 20.
That's great advice. Yeah. And everything here was great advice. So thank you very much, John, for being on the show today. Really appreciate it. You're always welcome to come back. We can talk about maybe we can actually delve in right on the flipper stuff and jump in on some of your funny financing that you've done, like, you know, someone that's come to you with and trying to, you know, flip a house and the fun they had involved with that. So
yeah, well, I enjoyed being here. Thanks for having me. And next time, hopefully Steve can make the show with us.
Steve is quite a character, so he loves being part of this show, and I'm sorry he wasn't here today, but we'd love to have you back at one point, and we can talk a little bit more about mortgages and how they work. And again, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Folks, thanks for listening today, and I'm going to sign off right now, and we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In New Zealand, the Muslim called to prayer on this Friday as the nation remembers the moment 1 week ago when a gunman opened fire, killing 50 people in two mosques. An imam told a crowd of thousands, "The country is brokenhearted, but not broken." The alleged shooter is an Australian white supremacist, and Australia's national security official, Mike Pezzullo, is warning those who follow his ideology.
You are on our radar, and you will not be able to incite the racial strife that you seek. The scrutiny and pressure that you are under will only intensify.
Boeing says it will now make standard on its 737 MAX aircrafts a safety feature that might have helped avoid two deadly crashes in Ethiopia and Indonesia. This is USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is